Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 475, Built for Bigger Battles, Contending with Horses. Guest minister Matt Eckert delivered this message on Sunday, June 7th, 2026 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I want to welcome our guests here, Matt and Nadine Eckert from Kingdom Pursuit Ministries. So we're so grateful for them being here, you know, because they've been doing tent meetings across the states, and now from the states to the nations, they're being propelled into the ministry of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. So we're just privileged to have them here today to minister here in this place from the life of Jesus and from the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we're really in expectation today. We're getting ready for the tent meetings here in our city with Rock Church, and we want to invite those that are watching today that you would be a part of that starting next Friday night and going through, I don't know, Wednesday or Thursday. But anyway, God is doing great things across the earth, and today we get to hear from a man of God and a woman of God who have been faithful to take the gospel all over these states and into the nations. So, Brother Matt, just come and minister, and we bless you in Jesus' name and welcome you to Fort Wayne.
Love you, Pastor. Thank you, brother.
You. Bless you.
Oh, I tell you what, we are blessed to be here.
Amen.
And I want to say this while you're right here, and that is when we came in last year for the tent meeting, you guys, I think, were overseas yourselves and came back like at the beginning of the meeting. And I looked over in worship and I saw that you guys had come in, and the Holy Spirit said, go over to him. He's got something for you. I thought, well, that's awkward. So I went over to Pastor Harley, and he's like, hi. And we hugged, and you know, Isaac was still leading worship. But it was just like, you know, I told him, I said, like, the Lord told me to come over here. And he said, the Lord told me to tell you that he's opened the door for the nations. And I don't know if you remember that, but that's what you told me. That was, what month was that, June? Yes. That was in June. Okay. So after we left here, if I'm getting my timeline right, we went to Napanee. And the doors opened immediately. And the doors opened to go. Nadine and I spent 2 weeks in India. Wow. In December. And then Caleb and I are in South America and Argentina, and more doors are opening like crazy. And just 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, I was encouraged by someone in the continent of Asia that would be able to put this together, said, let's plan the crusade. And so the doors have opened, Pastor Harley. Thank you for your obedience, and God's doing it.
Amen.
Amen. Love
glory to God.
Oh, God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Woo! I'm telling you, just even being here right now, just there's a lot of emotion just because it's like, yeah, God's fulfilling promises. Amen. And I asked my wife if she would share something real quick about another thing that kind of happened. You want to come on up here and... will this one be okay? There you go, sweetie.
Hello. Yeah, just along the same lines. And well, just thank you guys for being obedient and being the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Because you are. And I feel like every time we're here, just personally, it's wonderful for, you know, our walk with the Lord and what he's doing in our lives. And so I know that he's using you to do that for other people too. They come to this place and... man, their lives are changed in one way or another. And for us, I can look back over the years and think, wow, this happened that one year we were here, or this happened another time. But last year when we were here, when Tanya was preaching, I don't know if she's in here. Where'd she go? Anyways, when she was preaching, she had a door, which is really cool that Pastor Harley had that word for you. But she had that door framed. Do you guys remember that in the tent?
Yeah.
And at the end of her sermon, she was like, okay, I want you to come up here as an act of faith and do something to just like... okay, God, I'm obeying whatever you have. And so I remember we did that at the end of the message. It was like, okay, God. And we knew that he was stirring in our hearts the nations, and then that word was confirming as well. And so, yeah, thank you for your obedience, and thank you for just letting God speak through you, because he does. And
yes,
then it changes things in our lives. So praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, thank you, hon. I'm so thankful to have Nadine by my side everywhere we go. Amen. You know, we were 2024, I was looking at the calendar. We weren't able to be here with you guys. John and Cindy came and with the team and did the meeting, because Nadine had in 24 had a stroke. And but the Lord has miraculously just done so much that there's such a we're so grateful when we look back on how things happen. Because God's timing is so perfect. Even when with her having that stroke and finding out why she had had that stroke was because she had a hole that had not closed in her heart. And there was some abnormalities with that. And they were able to take care of that. She has had absolutely no issues from that day on. And it's just been a blessing. So we're so thankful for what the Lord is doing. You know, one thing I want to share is, because this affects you because of your location right where you are. We were actually, our plan, and I thought I had heard clearly from the Holy Spirit. Now, I still haven't figured that out myself clearly, if I wasn't hearing clearly or there was a change in plans because of something. I don't know. But all I can tell you is we were planning on being out west. And really at this time, we had planned on being at all 22 states west of the Mississippi. And we were going to be ministering in all of those 22 states this year. And so we had planned, you know, some tent meetings in Colorado. We would be going out to California, all kinds of areas, all 22 states. And so we were going to go out and then come back in for a short window and then go back out so we could hit all of those states. And in the winter, the Holy Spirit was like, no, that is not what I want you to do. And I began to tell my wife, I said, I think God is shifting the plan. I don't think we're supposed to go out west. And we prayed, we sought the Lord. And then there was confirming, God put it on Isaac's heart as we were actually driving in our motorhome on New Year's Eve to a service that we were doing over by Lafayette, Indiana. And we were sharing with one another and talking about, we knew the Lord was saying, the Wabash Valley. The Holy Spirit was saying, I want to do something in the Wabash Valley. I don't want you going west. And then Isaac calls and he's like, hey, I've been thinking and praying. Has the Wabash Valley been on your mind? And I said, yes. I said, that's what the Holy Spirit's telling us. And so just to really condense it, what happened was we cleared the calendar. We just said, we're not going west. We're not going to plan west. We're just going to, not even going to be concerned about it. But, you know, just, Lord, what do you have? And it's really cool. You may have seen it online, but we have a post that my wife has put together that shows where the tent meetings are and a lot of our services, and God has lined it up with the Wabash Valley. And it's just so awesome to be right here, right now, because we know that God is always moving in the region. God's always moving and working in the land. But there's something in the heart of God of what he wants to do right now in the Wabash Valley. And you're right, obviously, you know, at the beginning of the Wabash Valley. And we were in Napanee just recently doing a tent meeting there. When we got back to Indiana this year, we started down by Evansville, down in Petersburg, kind of towards the end of the Wabash Valley. Then we went to Napanee, and I thought, well, Napanee's not in the Wabash Valley. But we begin to study it, and we found out that the tributaries and the different things, the headwater, there's so much that has to do with Napanee. And but Fort Wayne is really the start of the Wabash Valley. And it's so cool how God brings everything together. So I just want to encourage you. I believe that we are in a strategic time for a move of God in this region. Amen. For a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. I really believe we're going to see reviving. I believe it's going to be phenomenal what God is going to do. I mean, when we were in Petersburg, I didn't know this till we left, but there was a lady that I have met ministering there at the church where we did the tent in times past, but I didn't know any of her health issues or anything. And so I had called her out one of the meetings, and I don't remember what I said, but it's on the internet. But anyway, I said something about the Lord was healing her. And the next night, she brought her husband back, and it's the next night or the night after. And Nadine and I and the pastor, we prayed for them together, just a quick prayer. But she had put on online that she was like stage four. You can read it. We got it online. I don't want to say it and get it all wrong because I don't want to exaggerate in any way. But she was totally, completely healed of cirrhosis of the liver. 100% healed. So since she has sent us all of the doctor reports where they are like, there is no sign of anything in her liver. She is completely made whole. Her first time to the doctor after the meeting, they said, they ran all the tests and they said, what have you been doing different? What did you do something different? What's going on? And she was like, I went to a tent revival at my church and the guy called me out and said I was being healed. And so she's completely healed of that. Amen. And so we just love what the Holy Spirit is doing. God is just so good. Amen. And I'm so thankful for His mercy, for His grace. And we're glad to be here with you this morning. We love you guys. So this morning I'm going to ask you, if you would, to turn to Jeremiah chapter 12. And Jeremiah chapter 12, you know, I get to, my eyes get watered in worship, and then I got to take a moment for these contacts to adjust from all the moisture in my eyes. But I'm going to read the first six verses of Jeremiah, starting in chapter 12 and verse 1. How many of you know God is wanting and desiring to flow through you increasingly all the time? He wants to increase you more and more. He wants to enlarge your territory, your sphere of influence. He wants that walk that you have with Him to go deeper and stronger. He wants you to be more surrendered now than you were when you got here just, 20, 30, 40 minutes ago, some of you longer. He wants you to have a closer walk with Him when you leave here today than you had when you come in. And how many of you could say, I'm walking close with Jesus now, but I want to be even closer to Him. I want there to be less of me and more of Him. And the Bible tells us, Jesus actually said that in the world we would have trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so listen, while we're on this relational journey of following Christ and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, learning to walk in the Spirit so we'll not fulfill the lusting of our old flesh, listen, the Spirit of the Lord, the same Spirit, Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is inside of you, quickening you. We have the power of the living God inside of us. And yet we go through trials and tribulations, and we have things that pop up. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard to know. Is this an attack? Is this a test? Is this something I brought upon myself? Well, you know, you can pray into it. God will give you wisdom. He'll help you to discern and to know. But the key thing is we have to keep our eyes upon Jesus. We have to keep pressing in no matter what comes our way. And so as we begin to, as Christians, advance into new territory, as we begin to do the things that God called us to do, how many of you know there's going to be opposition? Yeah. Yep. there's going to be demonic opposition. There's going to be testings of our faith. I can honestly tell you that every time in my life where it seems as though God was moving me from one thing to the next, you know, and I could sometimes look at it as an acceleration, and other times I wasn't for sure if it was promotion or demotion. I don't know to this day. But sometimes you look at it and you just wonder, Lord, what do you want? What are you doing? But it doesn't matter. You just trust in the Lord. You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But you look at those times, and here's what I can see in my life. Through the hard times, through the difficulties, if I stay true to Christ, if I follow Him and cling to Him and to His Word, you know what always happens? I get stronger and stronger. Amen. And that kind of seems like, well, is God, you know, what do you mean? Does He want us to go through hard times? Well, I will tell you this. He wants you to trust Him. Amen. And if He tested Father Abraham, He's going to test you and I. And if He can trust us with a little, He could trust us with more. And so God is bringing an increase into our lives, but He wants us to trust Him more and more. Amen? Jeremiah, many times referred to as the weeping prophet, verse 1, righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you, let me talk with you about your judgment. He says, you know, when it comes to righteousness, Lord, I plead with you, let me talk with you about your judgments. Now, I just want you to notice what he starts to have some questions, but also there's a little bit of a tinge of complaint from what Jeremiah begins to say. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy to deal so treacherously?
You have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn, and the herbs of the field wither? The beast and the birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said, he will not see our final end. Now here's the Lord's response, starting in verse 5. If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? For even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. Verse 5 is the key. If you have run with footmen, and they have wore you out, if they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? Listen, God is preparing you for greater and bigger things, but we've got to keep pressing in where we're at right now. You know, it's like we come here, I could just use it in a personal level, and you can relate to this in your own life, in your own testimony. We were here last year, I already shared the testimony. We felt God was saying, he's sending us to the nations. I'm praying about it. Lord, we don't want to kick the doors open. We want to know it's your timing. We really wanted it to be a smoothness of him opening it, right? We get the confirming word through Pastor Harley. God's opened up the nations. You know what that is to me? That was God saying, I put the desire on your heart. I told you when you were 9 years old, 9 years old. But here you are almost 50. God has a timeline, and his timeline is what we want to be in line with. I believe we can thwart God's timing. I believe that, you know, there's God's perfect will, and God is able to work all things. He will cause all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, his plan. But if we're not staying in that river of love, if we're not staying in that flow of listening to the Holy Spirit, we can mess a lot of things up. But if we'll walk in the Spirit and if we'll stay close to the Lord, he'll speak to us, he'll show us, he'll lead us, he'll direct us, he'll give us confirming words, and we can keep flowing in what he has. But you know what? As soon as there's a transition from one thing to the other, you feel like from glory to glory, guess what there's going to be? There's going to be some other troubles. There's going to be some hardship. There's going to be some trials and some tribulations. But that is okay. You don't have to walk around waiting for them. You don't have to walk around, well, I'm expecting it. Where's it at? It's not always going to go good. Listen, you can have a good time in the worst of times. You can have the joy of the Lord as your strength no matter what is going on around you. But here's something that I've found, that if I'm going to let the little things of life wear me out, how am I ever going to move on to the bigger things that God has in store for you and for me? Listen, there are things that God has in store that are going to blow our minds, but we've got to look at where we are right now and not so dreamy-eyed that just about what's there, but how are we handling what's happening today in our life right now? How are we handling what is happening? Because Jeremiah was discouraged. I mean, he was praying to God about, you know, the prosperity of the wicked, the difficulties of his assignment. And instead of, reminding him of the challenge, God responds with the challenge of his own. God gives him his own challenge. He says, Jeremiah, if this level of opposition is exhausting you, then what are you going to do when greater opposition comes? If you can't handle the opposition that is here now, how are you going to begin to do and handle the things that I'm getting ready to do and bring in your life? God wasn't rejecting Jeremiah. He was strengthening him. The Lord was preparing him for the next level of ministry in his life. And God is preparing you and God is preparing me for greater things. And in relationship, listen, knowing who you are in Christ and your identity in Christ is so key. This is not about performance. This is not about, Lord, you're pleased if I do a greater thing. My purpose and my assignment, my identity, they're all connected, but assignments come and go. They can come and they can go. They can be seasonal. Some of them seem like they're for a lifetime. But your identity and your relationship with Jesus is the number one most important thing. And in this relationship with the Lord, as you're transitioning and you're moving forward and going deeper in Him, assignments are going to change. Details might change a little bit, and God's going to allow some things to come into your way, not because He's rejecting you, because He wants to strengthen you in this walk with Him to trust Him in depths you have never trusted Him before. In finances, to trust Him like you've never trusted Him before. Even with your health, to trust Him like you've never trusted Him before. In every opposition, to trust Him like you have never trusted Him before. And you'll find it's like going from glory to glory. The footmen in verse 5, you know what they represent? The present challenge at hand, the thing you're going through right now. The horses that he talks about in verse 5, those are representing the future challenges that are going to have a greater intensity. It's going to be there. It's going to happen. David fought a lion and a bear before he fought Goliath. You look at Joseph and his life, and what did God do? Well, he served faithfully in Potiphar's house before he ever governed Egypt, and he went through lots of hardship in that. You look at the disciples, and they learned to trust Jesus in storms before he ever sent them to change the entire world through the power of the Holy Spirit. I love in Mark chapter 5 because Jesus takes the disciples and he says, let us go over to the other side in Mark chapter 5. And as they, at the end of it in chapter 4, he says, let us go over to the other side. And then what happens in chapter 5, right off in verse 1, there's this crazy storm that comes after him. Yeah. There's this external storm and Jesus is asleep in the boat. And what is he doing? He's at rest. He's right there. They're flipping out. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? Jesus calms the storm. He gives them a life lesson right in the middle of a difficult situation. And as soon as they land on the shore, what happens? The demoniac, naked. Here comes this guy, naked as a jaybird, running out of the tombs, running up there, falling at Jesus' feet. No one could bind them. Supernatural strength, all of these problems, all of these issues. And what now is happening is there's an internal storm. Jesus deals with the devil, expels the demons out of that man. He is delivered and in his right mind, Jesus was training them. Listen, he's like, there's going to be external storms and there's going to be internal storms, but I am Lord over it all. And if you'll trust me, I'll take you places. I'll do things in you and through you that you could never do of by yourself or in your own power. We're relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. But listen, right now, while we're running with footmen and there's difficulties, don't let it wear you out. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. You know, we went through a little season just a little while back where we felt, and Nadine and I were feeling it really strong. Different ones in the team were feeling it. And it was a weariness. And we couldn't really put our finger on it, but it was just like we were just not tired. You can take a nap. You can have a vacation if you're physically tired. Change your diet, you know, and that's all good. We were weary. This was not physically tired. And Nadine began to do a Bible study, and she opened up and told me about what she was studying. And many times in the New Testament, when the word weary is used, it means harassed. And she said, when I read this, I realized this is what is happening. We're being harassed. And it hit me. It was just like, you know, you can know, you can read, but how many of you know a word at the right time in due season? How many of you know anxiety in the heart of a man or a woman causes depression? But a good word will make it glad. A good word will turn the whole thing around. And so all of a sudden, it was like, well, you know, like, duh, the enemy's always seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. But there was such a heavy harassment, and we realized that that's what the enemy was doing. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary, all who are harassed, who are heavy laden. He said, come unto me. That was the invitation, not go to the world, try to figure everything out here and there, and if this gets better, that'll get better. No, our responsibility is to keep going to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that is the one that we run to in the middle of our storm, in the middle of our hardship, and he will always see us through. He said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's useful. And so we begin to realize there was this harassing that was kind of over us. And we just begin to break that off of ourselves, break that off of our team. But then the Holy Spirit began to show me, you're not the only one. There is a massive amount of harassment going on all over the body of Christ. And here's what the Lord began to show me. It was this weariness to weigh the saints down because of the great harvest that is getting ready to come in. Yeah. Okay, so Nadine shared about how we walked through the door last year in the tent, okay, after you preached that message. And you know what happened in September? We were here in June. In September, we had the tent set up in Kingman, Indiana, in a field that we had never set up the tent before, on a corner of a not real busy highway, but, you know, a small highway. And there's no power, there's no water, there's nothing there. Our RVs were parked a good ways down the road to the church. And you know what? We ended up being there for 12 nights. And at the end of 12 nights, actually, after night 7, every night, neither us or the pastor knew. Should we stay another night? Should we continue? Should we close this thing up? We had other meetings. They were already on the calendar. And every night, it was like this. I would say, Lord, what do you want? The pastor, every night in the tent, was right up here on the front row. I was right over here on the front row. And every night in the service, we had this knowing. I would look over at him, and I would just be just kind of looking over. And if he did this, I said, I want you to hear from the Holy Spirit. I said, if you do this, I know that you feel that it's good to go another night. I said, and then I'll go to praying, or that'll be my confirming. I said, if you do that, I'm going to start asking the Lord what his will would be for us to do. But I don't want to ask the Lord until you hear from the Lord. Okay? And so night after night, I would look over at Pastor Steve, and he would do this. At some point in worship, he would do that. I'm over there and I start praying, and the numbers just kept increasing every night. And the one towards that 12th night that he did that, I was like, Lord, I don't feel like I'm supposed to cancel the next service, but maybe we'll split our team up in two and we'll divide and conquer. I didn't know what to do, but God was moving so strong there. I did not want to just close the tent. And I said, Lord, what would you have me do? And the Holy Spirit said to me, would you do it for one? I said, yeah, I'll do it for one. Well, we had 150 or 151. 62. It was 51, 52. I remember it was 50, wasn't it? 62, yeah, was it 60? 60? So it was 61, 62? 62. Yeah, then. So the other one was 63. So we had had 162 the night before. And here's what I did. I said, Lord, I'll do it for one. I called from Malachi. I turned and I looked, and my son-in-law Malachi comes over, and I said, I want you to go, and I want you to count every person in this tent. I said, count them all, then come and give me the number. I didn't tell him why. He counts everybody, and he gets to the end at the back of the tent, and in comes in a young guy that had drove by the tent every night. And he walks in the tent, and when he comes in the tent, Malachi counts him, and he comes up, and he says, 163. And I told the Lord, Lord, if there's one more, yes, I'll go another night. There was one, so the 162, we went to 163. And that guy said, I don't know why, but every night I drove by, I wanted to come to these meetings, but I just wouldn't stop. And he says, but I drove by, and I went, and I had to turn around and come back on this night. And he stepped in the tent as Malachi looks over and points at him and counts him. You know, and we saw the Spirit of the Lord move so many souls. Can I tell you, in a 30-day window, we had more than 50 people accept Christ as Savior. And just in rural areas of Indiana, in a 30-day window, we could see and tell God was moving in a mighty way. But on the second night of that tent meeting, I was standing up there, and the Holy Spirit gave me a vision. And it was a vision of a door. And I saw a large door that would, like, one that would swing open, you know, and swing back all the way in. And it was on a hinge, but I just saw it open, like it clicked open. And the Holy Spirit said, I have opened a door for the harvest. Now, I know that the harvest is always plentiful. The workers are always few. But when I saw that, I knew that for us and this time right now, there's an open door to see the souls come into the kingdom. And then just a little bit after that, the Lord showed me, you know why the enemy is harassing the people of God? Is because the door is open for the souls to come in. Yeah. But if the Christians are fighting and spatting and contending with one another and envying and jealousy and all of this stuff, they will miss out on my move. They'll miss out on the new disciples that are coming in. They'll miss out on the explosive growth of kingdom work that God wants to do in the region right now. And so, you know, it's like I heard that and the Lord was just woke me up. It was like I was totally not going to deal with any of that harassment. I wasn't going to deal with that weariness anymore. And listen, keep going to Jesus. Keep taking it to Jesus. But we have to know this. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be hard times. But if that's wearing you out, how are you ever going to contend? How are you going to compete with horses, for crying out loud? Men are not made to race against horses, but under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, even a prophet outran a horse and chariot.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, there's no telling what you might do. And so listen, the battle that you're facing today, it may be very taxing. But listen, it's just a season. And in this season, you're dealing with some footmen. You're dealing with some opposition. But you're going to make it. Watch your attitude. Watch your heart. Because here's what I want to tell you. Your current response reveals your future readiness. Your current response reveals your future readiness. How you respond with the footmen that you're running against and the opposition you're in right now is going to determine how ready you are for what God wants to do in your life next. And so God was expecting, you know, God was exposing these situations that were in Jeremiah's heart and in his life. And pressure reveals what comfort many times conceals. We're just comfortable. We're going through this. We're going through that. But we're really just trying to stay comfortable. We don't want there to be problems. We want everything to just be good. But pressure will oftentimes reveal the very things that the comfort has just been concealing. And the pressure will bring it to the surface. And so what does he start doing? He starts complaining. He starts complaining. You know, you've probably heard this said. It's just silly, but you know, God created the world in 7 days, and on the eighth day, he started answering complaints. I heard this, and I know it's just silly, but this guy really wanted to be a monk. He had wanted to be a monk since he was a kid. And so, you know, he finds this monastery, he gets there, and he's just like, you know, I've wanted to be a monk since I was a little kid. It's been my heart's desire. And he says, what do I have to do to become a monk? And they said, well, you know, there's a lot to it. It's pretty taxing, but it's going to require that you can only speak 2 words a year for the beginning of this. So prepare and see if you can even make it to be a monk. And so 2 words in 12 months. So you're going to have a vow of silence all the way through 12 months. At the end of that 12 months, you're going to be allowed to speak 2 words before you enter into your next 12 months of silence. So they take him and they show him his room where he's going to stay. And that guy is a monk in training, just to see if he can even be really a monk in training. And so he's in his room and the whole 12 months goes by and he comes out at the end and they said, okay, you have a moment to say the 2 words that you want to share right now. And he says this, food's bad. Okay. He goes back. He has 12 months of silence and prayer and consecration and all of this. And he comes back in the second year at the end of the 12 months. And they said, what do you have to say? You know, you've got just a moment to share the 2 words. And this is what he says. He says, bed's hard. He goes back and they said, okay, another 12 months now. The end of his third year has come. He comes back and they said, okay, have you thought it through? You've got 2 words that you can share. And he said, I quit. And the head monk looked at him and said, well, I'm not really surprised. That's all you've done is complain ever since you've got here. You know what? There's a lot of people that are that way. You can always find something to complain about. You and I can always find something that we can complain about and bicker and get all upset about. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, it says, nor complaining as some of them also complained and were destroyed. Talking about those in the Old Testament. Listen, you and I are not supposed to be men and women of complaint. We're supposed to be men and women that are grateful, that are thankful, that are sharing about the goodness of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, he says, be hospitable to one another without complaining and grumbling. Why does the Bible say that? Because there is a temptation when we're hospitable. You know, you say, well, I had them over. Well, I hosted a church meeting. Well, I did this. Well, I did that. But oh my goodness. If only somebody else would help do the dishes. I'm tired of being the host of this thing. Nobody seems to appreciate. Nobody seems to care about what I'm doing. You know, it's interesting, but growing up a preacher's kid, some of the days the devil would attack my dad the hardest, and nobody really knew this, but I knew it because I went home with my dad after every service, every Sunday. Some of the times that stood out to me were Pastor Appreciation Sundays. If they even remembered it or somebody was in charge to do appreciation, well, then they would have some kind of pastor appreciation. And which, you know, it's all cool and great and everything, but it's kind of like, I'm sure Hallmark came up with this thing to make money. But anyway, so they have this time, you know, where they appreciate the pastor. And my dad would have times where even the people that were putting it on would come to him even that morning of pastor appreciation and say, well, I just feel like I'm not appreciated. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I put this whole thing together. I'm so worn out. We got the money tree and people aren't doing blah, 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 blah. And you know what? I remember my dad just being like, well, thank you. Okay. Yeah. And afterwards, my dad would resist complaining about the complaints on Pastor Appreciation Sunday. You know what? We can always find something to complain about all the time. Yeah. But if you can't contend with the footmen and the little opposition now, what makes you think you're going to be able to outrun the horses in the future? It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. You know, I'm not saying this to be like, I hope you hear my heart in this. I don't want this to sound arrogant or rude. I'm just talking about like how life works. If you will choose to be focused on the positive, if you'll choose to have the mind of Christ, if you'll choose to not complain and grumble, and you'll choose to rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. If you'll choose that style of living, and you know what will happen? You will be seeing a lot more for God happen in your life and life changed. So when we went to India, me and Nadine did it in December. We were here in June. And in June, we was burning. You give that confirming word. And then, you know, Father's Day comes up. And we go out for lunch with this pastor and his wife. And for breakfast one morning after, you know, our meeting. And they said, how can we pray for you? And I said, God is put on our hearts to go to the nations. And we don't want to kick the doors open. We're asking God to open the right ones. They prayed. And then you know what he said? Would you like to go to India? And Nadine said, yes. And I said, yes. And you know what? God opened a phenomenal door. There's not a whole lot I can actually say about it right now, but I can just tell you the things that happened were absolutely amazing while we were there with that couple in India. It was his 14th time to go there with the bishop that does the work there in India. And so, and Lord willing, we'll be going, you know, to Asia again, you know, at the beginning of next year. And so, we get there. We had a great time. The roads, the traffic, the driving reminded me of being on a mission trip in a third world country, right? That's what it reminded me of, but faster than any country I've ever been in cars. The roads were good enough that you could fly, and it was insane. And so, but we were like, we had the time of our life. We had such a good time. And you know what they said to me, which really, this did mean a lot to me and my wife. You know what he told me? He said, you guys are the smoothest couple we've ever been with on a trip ever. They said, we've never been on a trip with somebody so easy to travel with as you guys. And you know what? We felt the same way about them. But can I tell you what makes the difference? Don't complain. That really makes all the difference in the world. We were contending with footmen while we were there. Schedules, heat, things changing, drivers, whatever. What do you do? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know what? We land. We're in the country. And all of a sudden, we're all on the same plane together. But at security, they say, oh, no. Me and my wife, we go to another airport. They go into this airport. They sent us to a nicer, bigger airport. We go to that one. We thought we're just going, you know, a hop, skip, and a jump. No, it's like a 20-minute drive and you know, to the other airport. We get over there, and we find out everything is a mess. All the flights have been shut down. Thousands of people are at a standstill. Things were going on, and it was crazy. Well, you know what we did? I said, well, let's go find us a comfortable spot, get something to drink, and let's hang out. You know what we did? We prayed about it, and then we took action. We didn't feel like, what are we going to do? How are we going to win this battle? What are we going to do? Oh, we got to fight the devil. Oh, we got to find a way. No, we were like, you know, God sent us here. He's got this. Let's see what we can do. You know what? We put our heads together. We talked over the phone from one airport to another. God worked this thing out with the bishop that was having us in. You know what happened? We got on a flight. Things were a little bit messy. Things were a little bit crazy. Who cares? Life is crazy all the time anyway. It doesn't matter what country you're in. Crazy is everywhere. You might as well have the peace of God. You might as well have the joy of the Lord as your strength. You might as well let your light shine in the darkness. You might as well be the one on the airplane when everybody else is huffing and puffing and upset. You got a smile on your face. If that thing goes down, I tell you who they're not going to look to. The gripers, the complainers, and the troublemakers. They're going to look to the ones that have the peace of God shining on their face. Hey, I'm just saying, you know, we have a choice that we can make all the day. But let me tell you what complaining does. It corrupts the heart. Complaining literally starts to corrupt the heart. I want you to look in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 14. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and grumbling. Really? All things? Yes, all things. Do all things without complaining and without disputing, that you may become. Listen, you're in the process. This is a part of the process. A part of the process of becoming what? Blameless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? He's not talking about porn. He's not talking about, gluttony. He's not talking about envy or greed. He's talking about complaining and grumbling. Listen to what he says after that. He says, do everything without complaining and disputes. Why? That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You know what a crooked and perverse generation does? They complain and fight about everything. That's a real sign of corruption. And that's a sign of people being perverse, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How are we going to shine? Oh, Lord, show me a way to let my light shine. Quit complaining. Turn that frown upside down. Get glad the same way you got mad. How'd you, a choice. Come on. A smile is my style. Be a little cheesy with it. Have some fun. Amen? Amen.
That's great.
It's time to shine, not whine. Yes. Woo! I'm serious, man. I mean, it makes a difference. I remember when I was pastoring in a community that I pastored in for 6.5 years. I was in that community, and I can't tell you how much remodeling we did at that church. We did so much remodeling. I mean, the place was older and it needed work. And so when we got in there, and it was like, as the budget would increase, you know what we decided for the first couple years, we need to really put back into this place because that first impression and all that. So I'm just telling, painting you a picture. So we're doing all this stuff, but guess what it required? Running to the Do It Center all the time because there was a lot of workmen in the church and I had workman skills. So we would get together and we would remodel that church. Well, I was running all the time to the Do It Center in that community in Edinburgh, Indiana. And here I would go in, and this guy that was always at the paint booth area, or he would be in the area where I would order the lumber and everything, he wasn't mean, he wasn't rude, but I could never get him to even crack a smile. He was always just Mr. Business, you know what I mean? And he was just really serious, and sometimes I would even, like, just, you know, even in just, like, the simplest polite things, he would look up for me to me like, not today. You know what I mean? And it went on like that for 5-6 years. One day I walked in there, and I'm telling you what, guys, I was under an attack. I had people attacking me on Facebook, lying about me. I had people in the church that were upset, that didn't understand certain things. I had that day took my truck by myself out to Camp Atterbury, and I had permission to go in certain areas for like hunting during the season. And I went back into this area on the military base, and I remember I parked my car, and I yelled outside. I just sometimes could talk to God good outside. I yelled, I screamed out loud to the Lord. I said, God, help me. I yelled at the top of my lungs. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't do it in front of a bunch of people. Call unto me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things you don't even know.
Yeah.
I remember, I can't say that I felt the Spirit of God moving upon me or a great release other than that I let it out. I go to the Do It Center to load up the truck. Do you know what happens that same day that I yelled out to the Lord, wipe my eyes, act like everything's fine, because you know what? It is fine because I'm a servant of the Most High. Amen. Were the circumstances fine? No, but it is well with my soul.
Amen.
I had to get alone. I had to cry out to the Lord, but that's who I cried out to. My wife knew what was going on. Other people might have known, but this wasn't a moment for me to call everybody out and ask them to pray. That would have been fine too in moments, but I just knew that I... But here's what I could have done. I could have walked in that day to the Do It Center and just been like, oh, what a day. I've been here for years. This guy never smiles anyway. Hey, this is what I need. Can you make this happen? Can we... Come on. Wait, come on. I could have just been a jerk. Or I could have just been... Just, you know, I'm having a bad day. I went over to him that day and I was smiling. It wasn't fake. It's the joy of the Lord. But I had to make a decision. And when I looked at him, you know what? He sat back and he did this. And I'll never forget it. He said, you pastor the church on the other side of town over by the water tower, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, you've been coming in here for years. I said, yeah. He said, you know what? I want to thank you. He said, for years you have come in here and smiled and been kind and polite. He said, you have come in here after I have been cussed, after I have been went through the hardest of days, and you'll come in. And he said, I think here he is again. And he says, but you have become an encouragement to me. You want your light to shine? Don't be a whiny pants. I'm serious. It makes all the difference in the world. It changes everything. Listen, complaining can turn really quick because what happens is, let me finish reading this last verse here. It says in verse 16 of Philippians 2, he says, holding fast to the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Notice he says that I haven't run or labored in vain. How are you going to run? How are you going to compete? How are you going to contend with the horses if you can't even make it with the footmen? We're in a race and we're running it to win, but complaining corrupts the heart. And we're not going to read it, but in Numbers chapter 14, you can see that they would complain again and again after one miracle, after another miracle. The children of Israel would complain. And you know what happens? It corrupts the heart. It magnifies your problems. That's what happens when you start complaining. You magnify your problems. It minimizes God's faithfulness. And God is faithful and He will see you through. But when you begin to complain, it minimizes His faithfulness. It spreads unbelief to other people. You might think, well, it's just a little bit of complaining. But listen, it begins as a conversation, but it can become a culture. It begins as a conversation, but it can become a culture. You can be in a home where mom and dad, they start complaining. And if they don't stop complaining, it's a culture that you're raised with. Churches can become whiny pantses. Leaders in church, people can start complaining, and if they don't stop, it started as a little conversation, but now every time people get together, it's got a culture of complaining. Knock that off if it hits your heart. You know what you need to do? Lord, forgive me for complaining. Forgive me for the conversations of complaining. Lord, you know what we could call it? Gossip, call it all kinds of things, but you know where it starts with? A complainer's heart. A grumbling, a complaining, not satisfied, murmuring. Guys, it is so destructive all through the Word of God. And it's not ever going to do anybody any good. Complaining damages our witness. The world is looking for light that's shining in darkness. I wish I knew how. Stop complaining. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, you know what happens? Gratitude releases strength. You say, okay, I know what not to do, but why do I need to be so grateful? I'm telling you, it literally releases strength because you're walking in obedience to what God has said. When His word says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, when you, okay, if we believe on the scriptures on healing, on the cleansing of the blood, on identity in Christ, we know there's power in believing with the word and coming into full agreement and walking it out, right? In everything. It's the same thing with complaining and rejoicing. There's no difference. It actually brings strength into our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks." He didn't say "in everything complain, and everything second guess, and everything doubt." Well, I'm just one of those people that I'm a realist. Well, you're grumpy is what you are. Well, I'm a realist. No, you're complaining, you're grumbling. I don't care what your background was. I don't care how you feel. I'm not talking about what you feel or what you want. I'm talking about the Word of God that is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what it does? It cuts through soul and spirit. Come on. It's the discerner of the intents and the thoughts. Come on. The Word of God is what we need. And when the Word of God says rejoice, and when it says in everything give thanks, if you begin to take that to heart, things are going to turn around. Because listen, gratitude releases strength. Thanksgiving changes perspective. When you begin to thank God, your whole perspective will begin to turn around. Why is it important when we come together that we have those moments where we're like, let's give God praise. Let's thank Him for what He's done. Why in this morning in communion, even in entering in and welcoming in the service? Why? It's not cheerleading, trying to get the team happy. Oh, let's go. That's not what it is. It's walking in line with the Word of God, because we're supposed to be rejoicing. Amen. So when we're in these times together, and those words of encouragement are, let's praise the Lord. Let's give God thanks. Why? It changes the perspective. How many of you know the devil shows up on Sunday morning? You're right. He is not afraid to show up. He loves to show up on Sunday morning. Boy, it was late last night when I fought with God about this message, and I realized that I had to yield and He would win. Pastor Sarah graciously said, if you have a thing, I need it by this time. And I understand that, by the way. That's very good, because there's schedule and there's timing. But I honestly wasn't for sure if I could even send that to you until 8:33. But I was like, Lord, I'm surrendered. I'll yield. I'll do what you want, right? But, so we get out in the car and we've got our set time. And you know what I noticed when I got in the car? And I'm not one of these people. This rarely ever happens. I'm just saying. But my car was on E when I got in the car. And I was like, I took off. I was like, oh my goodness. And I spouted off. I said, who drove the car last and did put gas in this thing? Well, here's the thing that I honestly love to do. And my wife shouldn't have to be putting gas in the car, because I've always been the husband for 27, 26 years that I keep gas in the car. So I wasn't even upset with her. And you know what? Here's the thing. I've got son-in-laws. I've got kids with different ones. There's a whole team of us. And so the property God blessed us with, our campers are there, and different ones use vehicles, and that's good. And there's no complaint. But you know what can happen in a moment? You can see something that sets you off. And I instantly was like, why is this so low? And you know what? There was like, nobody said anything about it in my car. Like, you know why? Because they know me. They're like, let's just be quiet. Dad'll figure this out or whatever. There was nothing really to say. And you know what, though? I looked at it and I was trying to figure out, Pastor Harley. I was like, I'm going to have to exceed the speed limit. There's no way. If I'm going to get there even 10 minutes early, I got to speed, because I got to stop and get gas. So it tells me on the dash, you got 50, I think I said I could go 58 miles, and it was 61 to here. I was like, well, I ain't risking that. So I got to factor in, put a little gas in there, right? But we got going, and you know what? It wasn't any sooner than I pulled out of the driveway and made the first turn that the Spirit of the Lord said to me, Matthew, how are you going to run against horses? He says, oh, you're doing good in India. What about right here? I was like, so I didn't just jump right out there right away and say, everybody, please forgive me. I didn't know. I just, you know what I did? I was like, I did say it this way. I was like, I don't know why, when I drove back from the graduation party across town last night, I don't know why I didn't look and notice, because that was my fault. I didn't notice, but it was me. And it wouldn't have mattered who drove the car before me. I'm thankful that God blessed us with that car for anybody to drive it. It's not mine, it's God's. So it doesn't matter who drove it. I know this. I'm the kind of person that normally pays attention and fills it up. The only person I could blame in the situation anyway is me. And even if there was someone else, what good does it do to have a chip on my shoulder and start grumbling and complaining? You know what it does? It's like a cancer. It'll eat at you. And you'll start complaining about something else, and something else somebody did, and something else this way, and something that way. Listen, it ain't going to do any good whatsoever. If you just start thanking God. So you know what I started doing in my own mind and my own heart? I was like, Lord, I do want to go to the nations. I want you to use me. The little things are not so little, actually. They're huge. It's your attitude, and it changes everything. Let me tell you something. Thanksgiving will change your perspective. It'll strengthen your faith. Thanksgiving will invite God's presence. Do you know that's what the Bible says? That when we bless the Lord, He inhabits the praises of His people. God shows up when we begin to be grateful and thankful for what he has done. You know, there's an abundance of joy that begins to come when you and I begin to be thankful for what God has done. Paul wrote a lot about rejoicing, and a lot of times he wrote about it when he was in prison or he was being persecuted. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen? Amen. Guys, it matters. It matters a lot. A thankful heart is not thankful because everything is good. You cannot just be thankful because everything is good. You've got to be thankful because God is good.
Amen.
You've got to be thankful because he of salvation, because of his grace and of his mercy and what he's done for you. If you and I got what we deserved, we don't want to even go there and talk about it, do we? But his grace, his mercy, his love, hallelujah, that they're new every morning. The grace, the love of God. Let me start to wrap this thing up. Now, I didn't say I'm closing. As I prepare to close, so you know we're heading that direction, but I'm not necessarily saying 2 minutes, but I'm not going to keep you real long. How's that? Consider this. Greater calling requires greater capacity. A greater calling requires a greater capacity. So God was calling Jeremiah beyond survival to something that was much bigger. Do you know what? If we're not careful, we'll have a survival mentality in the church. And many times we spend our time, our energy, and you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to escape difficulties instead of allowing God to enlarge us through the difficulties we're going through. We just want to get out of it. I just got to fix this problem. Everything seems to be, I got to take care of this. Wait a minute. What is God wanting to do in this? Is there something going? Now, some people get goofy. Every little thing that happens, they're like, oh, well, I must be best. Sometimes things just happen. Just flow with it. But listen, your attitude matters. Your attitude. You're going to grumble, complain, blame, or you're going to say, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to thank you, Lord. You're going to help me through this. I don't know what I'm going to do, but Lord, you're going to help me. Lord, the Bible says, if I lack wisdom, if any man lacks wisdom, ask of God. He will give it without finding fault. You know, that's a release when you're like, well, I did this myself. This is my own problem. But God, you even say you'll give me wisdom without finding fault. And believe me, I got plenty of fault. But Lord, I need your help. The Bible says he's an ever-present help in our time of what? Need. Don't complain when you have a need. Begin to call out to the Lord. And don't just try to just get out of the difficulty, but be like, Lord, in the middle of this, I want to get closer to you. In the middle of this, I'm not going to stop rejoicing. Isaiah 40, verse 31. You're like, well, we all know that one. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You got to keep moving on. You got to keep serving the Lord with fullness of joy and gladness in your heart and do what God has called you to do with all of your might. Do it as unto the Lord. Shine, don't whine. Amen? God's going to see you through this. Here's some signs of, you know, God increasing your capacity. Because I want God to increase my capacity. Here's some things I think of. Greater responsibility. Oh, man. You know what happens when greater responsibility? That to me is a sign that God is increasing capacity. There's also increased opposition. I do believe that many times, not always, but many times there's increased opposition when God is increasing our capacity. There will be more spiritual warfare many times when God is increasing your capacity. You know, there will be a deeper dependence on prayer because you start realizing, boy, I really need God. Guys, this is actually a good thing, isn't it? That no matter what the enemy throws at you, no matter what life throws at you, no matter what is going on, that you can depend greater on God and get closer to Jesus through the hard times. Stronger faith when you're under pressure. Listen, your faith will get stronger when you're under pressure if you will trust in the Lord Jesus. If you will follow him and you will seek him. So I want to fully wrap it up with this. The church has to be prepared for the days ahead. We need to be prepared for the days ahead. And I'm going to tell you, one of the best ways to be prepared is to be a grateful, thankful, rejoicing servant of the King. That circumstances are not going to take the joy of the Lord from your heart. If you're easily discouraged by, you know, just inconveniences, by criticism, by minor opposition, and sometimes it seems like it's major, how are we going to stand for the greater things that are coming our way if we can't make it, if we just fall under with the small things of today? Well, I believe God is raising up some believers who are going to pray when others are quitting. When others pray less, you be one of those believers. Don't do it, be like, I'm this or I'm that. No arrogance. But just out of thankfulness to say, I know that I need the Lord and I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. That are going to preach truth in the culture that resists the truth. Amen? And you're going to do it with joy of the Lord. You're going to remain faithful regardless of what it's going to cost you. You're going to do this. And others are compromising and they're quitting. You're going to take a stand. You're going to pray. You're going to preach. You're going to love. And you're going to keep doing what God has called you to do as a child of God.
Amen.
Greater things are yet to come. Amen? You can't slow down now. If the footmen have weared you out, how are you going to contend with the horses? How are you and I going to contend against the stuff that is real heavy, that is real burdensome? I'll tell you how. It's training right now. It's how you're handling the situation you're in right now. You know what? I believe there's a mighty revival coming that is here, that there's a move of God, however you want to look at it and say it. But I'm going to tell you something. If there's not revival in the personal heart and revival in our personal homes, so men and women of God, watch out for those feelings of grumbling, complaining, ungratefulness. Get it out of your life and start rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. I'm telling you, there's no reason to be grumpy about anything. Now, you know what? Reality of it is sometimes it's your diet. Sometimes it's your health. Sometimes there's things going on. You know what you really have to do then? You have to really make a strong choice. You really do. We need to have compassion on people when they're going through changes, when they're hurting, when they're you know, obviously going through something. We don't want to just throw them under the bus and just... But listen, we want to be soft, tender-hearted. We want to be forgiving and kind and loving. But that's all what I'm talking about. We'll be like, well, what's wrong with them? Wait a minute. I don't know what they're going through. It seems like you're going through something. Can I pray for you? Do you need some help? Or is there something that's going on? See, when you have an attitude like that, that's gratefulness. It comes out of you in circumstances and situations where you used to complain. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And you know what? It's so like contagious. Grumbling and complaining is so contagious. So if you have found yourself in that system, remove it. You say, well, what about if I'm around people and I've been that way? Change it. You can always just call it what it is. Say, look, there's been a lot of negative talk and complaining and grumbling, and I've been guilty of this. And you know what? I'm gonna stop. I'm going to work on it. We're going to rejoice in the Lord. We're going to be thankful for what God has done. Maybe it's a situation where it's become gossipy and it's become unhealthy. You know what you need to do? Call it out. Call it out. Admit you're wrong in it. Don't just point the finger at everybody else and say, look, I want this to be productive. I want us to be thankful. I want us to be rejoicing in the Lord. I don't want it to be negative. It's taking a bad turn. Fix it. Amen? And if they do not want to partake in the godly way of living, then love them, but set your boundaries. Set your boundaries. Because you're like, listen, I'm not going to talk about them. I'm not going to complain about everything. What you can do is remove yourself. You don't have to be a part of that. Because I'm going to tell you what, gratefulness and thanksgiving is contagious as well.
Yes.
It is contagious. So how are you going to live? Grateful, thankful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.